Here in Harvey's Huddle, it's all sports and politics. Isn't that all there is anyway? It's talk with a local twist on KTYV.
You are tuned to KTYV Sports on FM. It's me, Brian Harvey. Welcome back to Harvey's Huddle. This is the Winter Carnival edition of the program. We've had some great interviews, and we've got a good one coming up. Thanks to our sponsors, Alpine Lumber, Central Park Liquor, and of course, Mountain View Car Wash. Stay clean, my friends. Brian Harvey with Loris Warner, of course, the youngest member of the famed Warner family and the namesake to Mount Warner that we ski on each and every day here in Steamboat Springs. And Loris, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good, Brian. I just got off the mountain a little while ago.
Well,
it was a little flat, but it was the skiing was still out of sight.
Awesome. How many days a year do you ski on average, Bugs?
Oh, I'll get in around 130. 135.
Nice. Still cooking after all these years. And of course,
oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't realize, I mean, we obviously talk about your brother, Buddy, and your entire family. And every time my son and I go backcountry, if we go up to the chutes or whatever, we make sure we give Buddy a pat on the head, the statue up at the top of Storm Peak for good luck. Although this year it's been really a challenge because my son isn't tall enough, so we have to use a ski pole.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's how we judge how much snow we're getting.
It's a good year is when we can sit on his shoulders, right?
There you go, or just tap him on the head.
Exactly. So a lot of people don't know that you were in the Winter Olympics. You're a two-time Olympian, both 64 and 68. Now, I'm going to let you know I was born in 1964, so I don't remember that one.
I was just really an alternate on the jumping team in 64. And then switched to Alpine and made the Alpine team primarily in downhill for the 68.
So have you skied the Honicon? Because that's right now, the U.S. team is there right now. Have you done that run?
Oh, yeah. And I've done that several times. Yeah, no, it's it'll open your eyes in there. It is a good test and, just depending on the conditions, because it can be really, really icy at times in there. And you like it hard, but you don't like it as slick as it'll get sometimes.
Well, and back in in the late 60s, when you're skiing it, how would they groom it? How do they pack it?
They used the Austrian Army, and they would actually, there were several years when the only snow was on the course itself. And they actually would pack it in kind of the old bucket formation type thing, or pass it along in there in baskets and dump it on the trail and then water and ice it down. And that was, like I say, that was the only snow on the mountain.
That had to be a bit on the scary side. And it's steep as all get out. Comparatively speaking to runs on Mount Warner and Steamboat, what does it compare to? Anything?
Oh, it's really a little hard to compare it to anything. It'd probably be more like a voodoo. The finish shush on it would be about the steepness of voodoo, but probably, oh, gosh, 5-6 times longer. But there are many little flat kind of resting areas on it, but it's narrow, bumpy, and steep, and we got a lot of turns in it.
And what speeds back in the late 60s were you guys getting?
Oh, we would get on the Zeal Shush, which is the finish shush, we would get up into the high 70s. And I imagine you probably averaged somewhere around between 60 and 65 miles an hour over 2 minutes.
Wow. And the skis, the ski technology was a little different back then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a whole different animal now. It just amazes me at how much it has changed in all facets, the Alpine, the Nordic, especially the Nordic. The ski jumping anymore is a total, total different thing.
Well, and it's fun to watch these Steamboat Nordic combined athletes having such success. I don't know if you've been following or not, but I had Nicholas Malasinski on my show a few weeks ago when he did real well in his first Continental Cup, and he skied to an 11th the other day.
Oh, yeah. No, those kids are doing really good. You know, Malasinski's in their, I can't think of their name right now.
The Belshaws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Taylor Fletcher is still doing it, and Jasper Good, who I remember when he was about four or five, is now in his 20s. And so, yeah, Steamboat's got great representation right now.
And then these Walter McGill and some of them that are coming up, they're good little athletes.
Yeah, and it's certainly fun to watch. Now, you grew up skiing on Howlison Hill, and you won the NCAA Ski Meister Championship, which is something that I don't believe they do in the NCAAs anymore, when you went to Western State College. Tell our listeners what that is and what it takes to win a Ski Meister Championship.
Well, actually, I won a couple of the NCAAs, but it primarily involved the four main events, which was downhill, slalom, cross country, and jumping. You know, you would compete right amongst with everybody else on a regular downhill course. The slaloms were you competing with everybody on the same slalom course, and then you would run 15 kilometers cross country and jump on anything from a 45 meter hill up to a 70-80 meter hill in there. And then you derived your points from how well you scored in the total overall competition, competing against the specialists and, you know, then your other competitors in the four event part of it. But it was kind of like the track decathlon is in there, that you would do two events one day and two events the next day.
I think it's awesome because and I know that Colorado high school skiing they still have a Ski Meister championship, but it's not something that they're doing at the college level. And kids these days specialize so early. I know Winter Sports Club has been, the Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club has been so good about having their kids specialize later in, so they learn a good foundation of skiing, which I really, as a former ski instructor, I think that is a great philosophy to get these kids so they can do a lot of different things.
Oh, yeah. No, and it's, you know, when growing up and being under the Winter Sports Club and with Gordy Wren as our coach in there, you know, we all, everybody, including some of the girls, did at least three events in there. And then as we got more involved, we would do, you know, it would turn into four events, and the scoring was all on a team basis. I mean, yeah, you had individual, but the main prize was the team event to kick Aspen's butt. That's primarily what we're trying to do.
We're kicking some Aspen.
And generally, we did it.
Yeah, how did your teams do, and who were you competing against back then?
Oh, we would compete against these teams clear throughout the country in there, but McCall, Idaho had a very good team in there, and they were always one of our main competitors, but on the weekly basis, it was Aspen. Several of the ski clubs in Denver had the Ziffelbergers and the Eskimos, and different ones had teams, and Granby had a team. Even it's no longer in existence, but the little town of Climax at the top of Fremont Pass had a good team in there, and you know, and just the Jackson Hole in there.
That's awesome. So Winter Carnival is upon us. Do you have a Winter Carnival memory or moment that sort of comes back? What are some of your favorite memories from Winter Carnival?
There are a couple that really that have always stood out to me. Was when Gordy Wren broke the 300-foot record in jumping. And today, you know, that doesn't seem like much, but back then, if you could jump 300 feet, you were in a class pretty much of your own. And so I forget the actual year, but Gordy did, I think he went like 301 or something or other. And then about, I think it was the next year that Anston Samuelston was a transplant Norwegian, lived in Boulder, but skied for Steamboat. And he broke the American record by going 316.
Wow.
And those were always feats that stood out in my life. But a fun part of it was that they always had a, out of Denver, a special train that would, passenger train that would come up and bring, a bunch of the Denver people, and they would have a good weekend. And we always called the train the BNFE, the back and forth empty, because most time that's what it did. But it would dump off some 200-300 in their spectators for the weekend in there, and it was always kind of fun to see the town swell and grow and, you know, the festivities from that.
Well, and
then at the end of the carnival, we always had really a neat thing, and it was a banquet. Everybody attended in there then. It wasn't just a sit-down and eat thing. They had an awards ceremony and kinds of things, but there was a lot of singing and just a joyful, fun time.
Well, yeah, and talk about how Winter Carnival has evolved, because, you know, that's interesting. Yeah, we give ribbons out to the kids during the street events and during the soda pop slalom and the jumping competitions and stuff like that. But it certainly has changed quite a bit. How is it different from back then to now?
Well, it used to be more of a really a skiing competition. And what I mean by that is that they would generally be the divisional jumping championships in there for all from the smallest, youngest up through to into the senior classes. And they would also have, generally it would be the slalom championships for juniors and seniors on the Alpine side. And so it was a little more competitive than what it is today in there. And, I mean, it was still very family-oriented and, you know, with the street events and that end of it and the ranchers all coming in to be part of the celebration. And of course, the cowboys and the street events in there, they were as competitive as the skiers were in the Wheeler boys from Elk River and Shorty Truax in there and Raymond Gray, all of them. These guys from the Elk River, and they would be going against the Vernon Summers, my two uncles, Glenn and Ralph from the Mesa. And, you know, it was pretty competitive for them. And instead of, them kind of people assigning who you were going to be pulled behind in there, the horsemen pretty much drew what skiers they wanted. And, hell, they even had a man, a rancher out of Hayden that would come up, and he ran a pretty good string of quarter horses, and he would bring a couple of those up in there. And so it was a pretty competitive, weekend.
It sounds like it was a ton of fun. I would imagine attending ski races and events nowadays, but I would imagine the camaraderie must have been pretty neat, because it seems like, you know, even though you've got skiers from Jackson Hole and all over the Northwest, it feels like it was a pretty tight-knit group of skiers. Friendly competition, maybe?
Oh, it was friendly, but it was still... you were there with one purpose in mind, and that was not second. And and now at the Glen, they have their Glundy, which is good and it's fun. But in the senior A class, which was your top bunch of jumpers, there would be 60 to 70 competitors in it. And there, and so the ski jumping end of it was a big deal. It was a big part of the carnival. The guys would come from Ishpeming and Iron Mountain in there and out of, Michigan and the Midwest. And there were a lot of transplant of foreigners going to the different colleges, and they would all be competing. So the jumping end of it was really an international event.
Wow.
And it was big time.
So it's definitely evolved, and it's certainly way less competitive. On the ski joring side of it, how much ski joring did you do as far as the street events? And was that limited to kids? You know, I think it's like 14 and under now, or were there adult classes? Because, you know, obviously the Mount Werner was a lot smaller. I mean, being formed in 64, for much of your childhood, it wasn't even around. So.
Oh, yeah. No, it was, for most of the childhood, it was just a twinkle in our eye. But the street events were open to, up through probably seniors in high school. So 17, 18 years old. And most of us would, took the time to be in the street events in there because, well, in high school, most of us were in the band anyway. And so we had to be there. And then as soon as we were through there, we would arc it over to House and Hill and change clothes and do whatever we had to do that day in whatever events we had to compete in then.
Did you get any sleep during Winter Carnival?
Did what?
I said, did you get any sleep during Winter Carnival? Because you're doing everything.
Oh, yeah. No, it was, we also had to do the night show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, that was other highlight was watching Claudius Banks do his thing. That's John's, the present day lighted man, John Banks' father in there who started the whole lighted man thing. And he used to intrigue the heck out of us with what he would come up, his new little innovative things for the Roman candles or whatever. But no, it was just really, really a fun, good time. And not only was it the highlight of Steamboat, there were a lot of kids and competitors from out of state that looked forward to coming to it for year after year.
Yeah, so, it sounds like it was spread out, but very regional, and then some, more so than it is now. We certainly get visitors who come in and watch, but from a competitor standpoint, it sounds like you had people from every mountain town from across the globe.
Oh, we did. No, we had some of the best in the world compete here in both Alpine and in the Nordic event. More so in Nordic because of the jumping and everything, but I can remember of a couple of the good Norwegians from that were on the DU 18, but also on the Norwegian national team in competing Olympic-wise. They were here. And so, no, it was a first-class event all the way around.
Oh, man. I want to go back in time. It sounds like it was super fun. Not just now, with the street events and the jumping, and then they do the jumping and jamming. It's a more of a kid friendly event. But for us that are still competitive and getting older, it sounds like it would be a ton of fun.
Oh yeah, but you can never think of a World Carnival without thinking of Walt Weber and his sound system. And it consisted of a panel truck with two big speakers, one forward, one aft. And he had, I swear to this day, that he had two records. Christmas time, when it was a roving Christmas tree, he had obviously Christmas carols. And any other time, and especially Winter Carnival, and 4th of July, he had John Philip Sousa march tunes on it. And it was just, that was part of, that made Winter Carnival. That. And then the announcer, I always thought he had one of the greatest announcing voices around, was Bob Wither. And I always call him the golden throat of Hans or House and Hill.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. you know, having announced a few Winter Carnival street events with Tom Whidden, we certainly have fun, but definitely don't hold a candle to those guys. The soundtrack has changed exponentially, but still with 4th of July, I definitely still play a little John Philip Sousa. And that's great.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to touch in on that history. Oh. Any other memories you want to share with our listeners?
Oh, I think that probably covers it pretty good.
All right, I got a question for you. How did you get the nickname Bugs, Loris?
Oh, that one is held very close to the chest.
I can't get you to divulge, huh?
No, sorry, not today.
Okay. Well, I hope sometime soon that I wake up early enough to walk out of the ski locker room at the same time that I can go make a turn or two and try to keep up with you, Loris. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, certainly, Brian.
You have a happy Winter Carnival, and we will see you out on the slopes, my friend. I appreciate the time.
Great. Thank you.
Loris Warner, of course, the youngest member of the famed Warner family, Buddy and Skeeter's brother, and of course, Hazy's son. So that was a fun interview, fun to catch up with Bugs Warner, and he won't tell us how he got the name. It is the Winter Carnival edition of Harvey's Huddle. Drew and Tony up next. We'll be talking Super Bowl, sports, Denver Nuggets, Colorado Avalanche. We're going to get her all done real quick. We'll even make our Super Bowl picks. It's Harvey's Huddle right here on KTYV, brought to you by our friends at Alpine Lumber. For all your building materials, go see Skip and the gang at Alpine Lumber. Employee-owned and operated, the contractor's choice and the homeowner's friend. Also, a big shout-out to Central Park Liquor in Central Park Plaza. The lowest prices and best selection on beer, wine, and booze in northwestern Colorado. Guaranteed. And, of course, Mountain View Car Wash. Sun's out, guns out. Steamboat's only full-service car wash. Home of the Unlimited Wash Club. Stay clean, my friends. This is no time to be riding dirty. You are tuned to KTYV Sports on FM at 105.7 and on the World Wide Web at steamboatradio.com. We are
Fox Sports.
Boxers or briefs, you're gonna need a cop. Sports on FM. KTYV Steamboat Springs.